Mark, you wake up this morning and you see the snow outside, and then you're like, oh, yeah, well, I worked in Cleveland for 25 years. It's just another November morning in these parts.
Yeah, that the I live in the snow belt in Cleveland, so, yeah, cleaning snow off the car is kind of a rite of the off season, and still, even with the snow, it's there's I think there's a sign down here. We're inside of 120 days to the first spring training game, so it's hard to imagine.
Well, and with that in mind, I should ask you, how's it looking down in Dunedin? Where are you at with the stadium renovations and the renovations to the Matic complex?
Yeah, it's hard to even believe. I actually got some pictures from Shelby Nelson, our Florida ops head yesterday, and there's the coolest thing to see from yesterday is that there's green on the field at the Major League Stadium, so they're actually putting down the sod right now. The stadium is well underway to kind of being a renovated, redesigned, and what will feel like a new ballpark when we get down there. The player development complex, there were some great aerial shots from a drone yesterday that were just incredible. So the building will be not ready to be occupied until later in the summer, but all of the outbuildings, 3.5 new fields, a turf field, 2 sets of new batting tunnels, maybe one of the coolest things, a covered major league turfed infield, which will give us the ability to kind of do a full workouts, whether it's raining or even when it's really hot with the sun, and provide some shade. So a lot will be done. We'll be able to show everybody and take, hopefully, Scott, you'll get down there, take you on a tour when you get down there for spring training. But it's rapidly going, and it's a massive project. And most importantly, I think it's going to be a major game changer for us as an organization in helping us be more effective at developing and building a winning team.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, this is Leadoff on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mark, I'm sure you're aware that former Blue Jays general manager, now Atlanta general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, made some comments on a conference call with Atlanta beat reporters yesterday that the head of the players union, Tony Clark, interpreted as evidence of collusion, and he has issued a press release off of that. I'm not going to ask you to comment specifically on what Alex had to say or Tony's response, but I do know that you are well plugged in with the league, and so I'm hoping you can give us this. How would you describe at this moment the relationship between the league, i.e. the owners, and the players?
Well, I mean, I think it's somewhat natural leading up to a collective bargaining negotiation. It's it very rarely is kind of all roses and birthday cakes and kumbaya when you head towards a negotiation where both sides, particularly one, wants to change the circumstances. What I always hope and what I think I rely on after kind of looking through a windshield of 30 years and only one work stoppage is that, the owners and the players both recognize that the game is great. The game is bigger than anybody else, that it really is all about our fans and that there is a large pie out there and thinking about how we divide it needs to be done carefully, needs to be done respectfully, and needs to be done with the interest of both stakeholders at part, but that, the game is so good and so resilient and the fans are such an essential part of that game being successful that will ultimately prevail in the end.
Is there a way to properly address players' concerns here, Mark, in a shifting environment where you've got 6 years of club control, major league service time required over any player before he becomes eligible for free agency, 3 years typically of club control before he even becomes arbitration eligible. So players don't get paid on the young end. And then with the advances we've seen, quite rightly, in sports science and analytical data telling us that peak performance occurs in the 20s, is there a way to ensure that players get appropriately paid through their 20s, because those deals when they're 29 and 30 and hitting free agency eligibility for the first time typically aren't there like they used to be if they're not a top tier star?
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job of just kind of giving the elevator pitch to the current circumstance, which is, nothing has happened except for we've gathered more information, we've made more informed decisions as an industry, and as a result, the emphasis is probably being placed on not investing in players as they become riskier and have more declining performance. And so ultimately now we approach a juncture in a CBA where there's an opportunity to correct and address, the structure in the system. That would probably be done with an ask in some other areas, ultimately maybe some areas that are hopefully in the best interest of the fans and thinking about helping the game evolve, much like basketball and football have done and hockey have done, to ensure that as, the fan base and, media habits and the way people watch and want to be entertained, that our sports, never violating the tradition and purity of the sport, continue to evolve, with the set of rules. So I think there'll be some give and take. That's what a collective bargaining agreement negotiation is. And, you aptly stated probably the number one concern from a player perspective.
With Mark Shapiro, he is the president and CEO of the Blue Jays. This is Leadoff with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Max, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mark, looking towards the 2020 iteration of our Toronto Blue Jays, there's under $40 million committed to payroll as of now. So I need to know, what's your best offer for Gerrit Cole going to be?
Ashley, I think you need to give us a little proposal there. So we're going to be... We're going to be one of many people interested in recognizing he's certainly a very rare talent to be available in free agency. And last time we kind of tried to guess what the free agent landscape is going to look like, there's almost every team out there is looking for starting pitching, which is not surprising. And certainly every team could use a number one starter. So, I think we're going to have to be aggressive on every level of the free agent starting pitcher landscape and recognize that, players do, as they go into a situation, they have all of the things that are important to them. They look at geography. They look at how that aligns with their personal situation, their family. They look at spring training and where that, location is. Right. They look at competitiveness of team. They look at, division and the landscape that they would play in. So, it takes an alignment of interests as well as dollars. I think dollars are not going to be our challenge, Ashley, which hasn't always been the case. It's going to be, where do we fit with Garrett's alignment of interest and how does that align? And same thing with every free agent we pursue. What I'm confident is that throughout the free agency process, we'll be able to get better this winter and we'll have the resources to do it, and who we align with from this winter and in the next two or three winters as it gets even more crucial, it's just going to continue to grow.
Just make sure you send me the proposal before you shoot it over to Gerrit and his people, and I'll be sure to give you my opinion. But you guys have already...
I'll pass it off.
You can give it to my people. Scotty Mack will take care of it for me. You guys made a move. You acquired Chase Anderson, of course, a right-handed pitcher. Obviously, one of the biggest holes in the lineup last year was the starting rotation. But when you talk about long-term viability and long-term success, I'm curious as to your thoughts whether you find the odds of drafting and developing a position player at a higher success rate than drafting and developing a pitcher?
Well, they are. I mean, just statistically, the facts, I think the pitching landscape is so fraught with the risk of injury that no matter how much information, no matter how we advance, the motion and the stress of pitching just runs counter to the human body, and it just we never know exactly how long guys are going to be able to withstand those loads. That's why a guy who's a horse, like you mentioned, Gerrit Cole, is such a rare rare guy to be available through free agency. But you still kind of bite your tongue. You're still so nervous because pitching is such a risky game. And I think we'd always like to develop our own pitching because if you look at the history of free agent pitching contracts, it is a really, really, really high-risk area to play in. It's the certainty with both drafting, developing position players and signing them free agency is much more of a known. Some of that's because – you know, we have 600 plate appearances to look at a position player on each year, and, you know, only 30 starts or 200 innings if a guy's a starter. So we just have less information, and some of that's because the risks of pitching are much higher than being a position player.
With Mark Shapiro, president of the Blue Jays, two rapid-fire ones for you, Mark, before we let you go. Number one, saw a clip on Twitter of Vladdy jumping rope last week. The kid looks svelte. How's his offseason going?
It's going great. Ross is down there right now and met with Vladdy, and he was, when I talked to Ross on the phone the other night, Ross was blown away. He said, you know, he's getting after it, you know, couldn't be pushing himself harder. Now, that has to continue through the off season, but I think to set that tone, to approach it on his own. In the end, you know, Scotty, every single player has to take ownership over his own career. We can give guys feedback. We can present them with the best information and the best resources, the best coaching, the best facilities, and the best guidance, but a player has to take accountability and ownership of his own career, and he has to make that decision for himself, just like any of us in our own lives. And so to see Vladdy having made that decision that, okay, I've gone through that first major league season, I've seen what it takes to survive the grind up here, I've seen what the best players do, and I need to make that adjustment along with some other adjustments. And I think we all know and recognize that if he does do that, if he takes care of that piece of his business, the other aspects of his baseball playing are going to certainly fall in line and continue to get better, and we're going to have a special player on our hands.
I didn't mean to make you all verklempt about it. I'm just kidding. last one, Mark. Your situation, can you express with confidence that you will be here long term?
Well, I mean, I don't make those aren't unilateral decisions, but I can express, you know, two things. One, that I've received nothing but positive feedback from the people that I report to about, you know, wanting me to remain here, and I certainly have been consistent from day one that the reasons for coming here were compelling, and that it's been nothing but an affirmation since the day I got here. And in 2016 and 2015, seeing the incredible potential of this franchise, and then the waking up every single day, whether there's snow in my windshield or whether it's a beautiful day, with the overwhelming desire to have that possibility and that potential happen every single year, the drive to build that sustainable championship team. I want to finish that job, Scotty, and, you know, I'm not going to rest until I do, and I want to see that happen here because I know just how unique and how special in every way it can be to do that for Toronto and do that for all of Canada.